Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of Serious Issues, a weekly podcast about comic books, except this time it's bi-weekly. We've got a little special guest going on today. My name's Levins.
My name is Siobhan.
And we are joined today by Matt Groom, who you may have heard talking about Power Rangers on his podcast, Ranger Danger.
That's it. Thank you so much for having me.
There's other parts to it. We're not only talking
you
about
have other strings to your bow.
I like to think so. Yeah. We probably will be spending slightly less time talking about Power Rangers, but that depends how much you guys rein me in. We'll see.
I've got a lot of Power Rangers related questions.
Great.
You've actually.
I'm ready. I'm very prepared.
You've written a Power Rangers story for a recent annual for the that Boom
sure
Comics published.
Did. Actually, co-wrote that with my Ranger Danger co-host Michael Basudel.
Awesome.
It was an 8-page story. Yeah, we had fun with that one.
You were coming in to talk to us today because you have written your first first big comic, I guess, coming out, regular series that's coming out through Image next month. It's called Self/Made, or just Self-Made.
That's it, Self-Made, yeah, December 5.
And you're creating it with a Brazilian artist,
mm-hmm.
Eduardo
Ferragato. My new best friend.
Okay, oh, good. Yeah, a mystical Brazilian artist. Yeah. There's no better find in the world than one of those.
Yeah, we got super lucky finding Eduardo, and I got super lucky finding out that he's such a lovely dude, and we have a lot of the same cultural references. So when he said, oh, I want to make the cover of issue 3 like the cover of Doom, I'm like, oh yeah, go ahead. I know exactly what you mean. Do it. It's going to be great. And it was.
So just quickly, Siobhan has read the first issue of Self-Made.
Oh, thank you.
And you are Sydney-based, so that means that she's snapped you up for a special King signing on, is it December 6th?
December 6th, 5:30 till 8.
That's it. I'm very excited to meet people and sign some comics.
403 George Street, Sydney, if you want to come along to King's Comics, get your first issue signed by Matt.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be like The Walking Dead. In 10 years, it's going to be worth
$900. So much dollars
money. That, I probably legally can't guarantee that, but let's all assume that'll be the case. Yeah.
he'll sign not only the front cover, but also a guarantee that in 10 years' time, the
issue
will be
worth
$900.
With every issue.
But tell us what Self-Made is about.
So Self-Made is the story of a warrior named Amala, and she's tasked with defending her kingdom from invaders, essentially. But she's locked into that role, and she has bigger aspirations. She wants to do more, but she can't escape that role. But once things start to fall apart in the kingdom, she's given a chance to break out of that role and prove herself and show that she could do more. But that sets her on a collision course with her creator, with her god. And from there, things kind of descend out of control.
Unreal. Is this an ongoing as yet?
We've got 6 issues that we're absolutely going to do. We have many plans for more, but if we do 6, it's going to be a complete story. Like, we move pretty rapidly through things, but our ideal is to keep going for quite a while.
Awesome. And so, clearly, just make it a very easy sell to our listeners. Pick 3 comics that you would compare Self-Made to.
Okay. This is hard because I have to talk around some stuff in the plot, but I think we're certainly going for, like, the scale of Saga.
Great.
We're going for some of the specificity of science fiction of a Jonathan Hickman title, it may be like East of West.
Okay.
And I'm going to actually move outside of comics because how I like to describe the series to people in terms of just the tone of it in the character relationships, it's like Toy Story meets Collateral.
What?
Yeah.
Finally.
Right, yeah, I know, right? That's what everybody's been asking for, and I'm happy to provide. Because it really is a story about the creator and Amala and their relationship and how they change each other. So I really look to stories that are about two people who have very defined ideas about their destinies, but then they collide together and it changes their sense of self and their sense of purpose. So in that way, I think it's very much like both Toy Story and Collateral.
That's great. Thank cool. you. I was like, oh, this could be a terrible question to ask, but you answered it very, very valiantly.
Oh, thank you.
So what was the, how did this all come about? Because you said you found Eduardo. Mm. What was that process like?
Well, so as you guys mentioned, I do the podcast Ranger Danger, which is about Power Rangers. We ended up interviewing Kyle Higgins, who writes the Power Rangers comic, before the first issue came out. And he seemed to have a great time. He was like, oh, what I would like to do is do a issue-by-issue breakdown. So after every issue, we'll do a director's commentary, essentially.
Cool.
So we did that, and we really hit it off. And he started asking us about questions about Power Rangers, because we'd have like a Google chat. And then we started talking about story, because I work a lot with story in my day job at a creative agency. And yeah, it just became this like years-long rolling conversation about story. And at a certain point, he was like, oh, you're quite good at this, I think. Would you like to try your hand at writing comics? And I said, yeah, absolutely. So he had me write a 22-page test script as a just like, let me see what you can do. And what I wrote, aside from a few changes, ended up being the first issue of Self-Made, almost word for word.
And I forgot to mention that Kyle Higgins is actually the editor of Self-Made.
He is the editor of the comic, yeah. He saw it and he was like, oh, actually, do you mind if I edit this? I really like it. I'd like to walk around to some publishers and see who's interested. And we were looking at a few different people for artists. And Eduardo had actually done a little bit of work with Kyle, because Kyle did an image series called Hadrian's Wall.
Oh, man. We love that series.
It's very good. Like, I love...
Was Eduardo the Odd? No, that was Rod Reis.
That's Rod Reis. Yeah, but the later issues of that were hitting when Rod got picked up for some pretty big Marvel work. So Eduardo actually ended up doing just a few fill-in pages, I think, on Hadrian's Wall. So that's how he got on Kyle's radar.
Cool.
So he was one of the people suggested, and I saw his work, and immediately I was like, yeah, this is the guy. And then we had a Skype call to sort of gauge his interest, and he was super into it, and we were off to the races.
Unreal. What a great, great kind of bunch of coincidences.
Honestly, I've been phenomenally lucky, and I am never, ever going to forget that.
Well, what I love about it is that, you know, all of these opportunities come from you sharing your love of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And it is something like, I love the idea of me one day understanding Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I would love to understand Power Rangers one day too. Let me know if you ever get there.
Because I just think they look incredible. I love the costume designs, but especially the more recent Boom comics. Mm. The art teams that they have, and even just like the specials, you know, and the kind of like, you know, annuals. Every single story looks incredible.
Oh, yeah.
The art teams, and they're often artists that I've not read much of in the past. And it just looks so fun and crazy. And then there's that insane event going on right now where it's like the multiverse of Power Rangers.
Yeah, they're going big. Like, you can't fault them for scale. They're really taking swings.
I do have a soft spot for the movie that was filmed in Australia that came out in the mid-90s.
Yes.
And a massive fan of the Sega Mega Drive side-scroller game. I think it was the same on SNES as well.
Yep.
But beyond that, like, I'll pick up I picked up Kyle's run on Power Rangers, and just because it kind of follows a certain point in the TV series and continues from there, I just never ever gained the knowledge to understand what the fuck was going on in that series. But I loved it, I think.
Yeah,
I loved it, but I didn't.
We're actually talking a little bit about this off air before we started, but I think what Kyle did really cleverly was he decided to write Power Rangers not as it was, but how you remember it as an adult if you never actually go back and watch it.
Right,
right.
Sure.
Like, it still has the bright colors and the giant robots and all of the crazy monsters, but you remember it being very like high drama and compelling and sort of tightly plotted. And of course, it's not. But Kyle writes it as if it was, and it's fun to see it through that lens.
Like, have you got some advice for me for understanding Power Rangers more? Or is it just something that isn't necessarily for everybody and I should give up on my quest?
Or should you just not try and understand it and just embrace it as it is?
Oh, God, that's a loaded question. I guess what I'd say is, to understand the appeal of Power Rangers to me, you kind of have to understand the origins, because it's actually a Japanese show that they cut about half of the episodes out and then refilmed some bits with American actors. And then the writing team in America had to try and figure out how to write a story around these scenes, which would be a hard enough challenge anyway if it wasn't already a bananas Japanese children's television show. So if you're going to go back and appreciate the show now, I think it has to be through the lens of it's very strange and it's impressive that it came together at all. And you need to sort of, yeah, look at it as a cultural artifact, I suppose, as opposed to a story for adults.
Mm. Very, very good advice. I think I'm just going to read your comic.
Look, if you had to choose between going and watching Power Rangers or coming to King's Comics and buying Self-Made One, I absolutely recommend the latter.
So, I mean, you have had pretty good luck in terms of being an Australian creator. Do you feel like you have a... what is the experience of being an Australian creator in like a largely American industry been like for you?
Well, I've had a lot of trouble remembering to take the U's out of words like colour.
Yep.
That's been a real pain.
That's the hardship that you opened with.
That's the big hurdle. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's hard to say because I'm just getting started, right?
Yep.
But the geographic distance is a huge thing. I went to America for the first time last year, and I went to San Diego Comic Con, and that is just a whole other thing.
I find the concept of it terrifying.
It is terrifying.
It's too many people.
It was way too many people.
Yeah, it's like the population of Sydney in cosplay.
Oh, uh-huh. God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly like you imagine it in that regard. It's so crazy. It was great to go over there and meet people and sort of make connections and network as best I could, but that's not something that you can reliably do in Australia because it costs thousands of dollars to get to America. Mm-hmm. So I expect there's going to have to be some element of just letting the work speak for me. But I think there is like a growing community of Australian writers in particular. I mean, obviously, Tom Taylor has been crushing it for a decade now. So it's not like you can't be an Australian comics writer. But I think we're starting to see people say to come up like Ryan Lindsay and
Christoph Bojax.
Thank you. You saved me there.
He listened. Sorry, Christoph. We all fucked up.
I apologize. I think it's happening, and I don't know if it's just something in the water, but I feel like we're starting to make headway. Now, obviously, Nicola Scott has just been a titan of the industry for a long time, so I don't think there's any problem there, but maybe a little harder for writers, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I've heard both Nicola and Tom Taylor in interviews to talk about the difficulty of distance. Sarah, Tom especially talking about like sometimes he just needs to remind the people that he writes for that he exists.
Yes,
absolutely. You know, because he's on the other side of the world.
And Nicola, like, I mean, I think it was a very different thing when Nicola first started, but she basically was like, this is like I'm sleeping in my car so that I can pay to go to every single convention in America.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a big cost. Mm. I'm looking going to some conventions again next year, and I expect that's where all of whatever money I make from Self-Made will be going. But you kind of have to do it to try and make headway in the market.
Absolutely. What would you like to see change in the Australian comics industry now that there is like this kind of growing interest?
Again, it's tough having sort of really just recently dipped my toes in, but it would be good for us to be able to get together collectively. And I know that there's already been some headway made in that regard. And I think the other Australian writers are a little bit more of a collective and they tend to support each other. But I think any way we can do that more would be better. Because I don't think there needs to be any sort of competition. I think there's plenty of writing jobs. I mean, look how many comics are on the stands. And Australians can be represented there a lot more than they currently are. And I think collectively we can push for that.
For us, it's like this weird, it's not elitism, but we often, I get, not shamed, but I get made to feel guilty that we're not out there like trying to find independent Australian creators as much as we are just, you know, the books that we find on the stands at King's. And I'm sure you cop it even harder.
Oh my God.
As
constantly.
A retailer, Siobhan.
Constantly. There is this kind of funny idea that we should be supporting Australian produced stuff like at a loss to ourselves as a business, which I always find very
strange,
very, very irritating and frustrating. But definitely I've noticed that some of the people who are writing now who are coming up are more maybe a little bit more business minded.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like a bit more willing to actually approach, understand retailer concerns, stuff
I think
like
you
that.
Have to. You absolutely have to. Like I think my first sort of port of call, I think, when after Self-Made was greenlit, I knew I had to better understand the landscape, and I ended up listening to a lot of interviews with retailers and realizing just how hard it is to make ends meet as a retailer.
Yes.
I think if you get your head across that, you're probably less likely to make demands about how they should be treating you,
yeah,
and more grateful that they're putting your thing on the shelves at all.
Yeah.
So I guess I'd certainly caution some humility in any shelling creators coming up and say that just be happy that you're making any ground, any headway that you are.
And also, I'm so boring, I'm such a broken record, but also support your local comic retailer.
Oh, yeah.
And your local comic retailer will support you.
Absolutely.
You have been a customer at Kings for many years.
I sure have.
I'm extremely excited to have you coming in and doing a signing, because that's like the coolest shit for us.
Oh, it's cool for me. You know, I have been coming to Kings for, God, it must be 10 years now.
Yeah, you have an old standing order number.
I sure do.
Yeah. He's been here for a while.
So, yeah, I mean, it means a lot to me. And I think a store like Kings that has endured for that whole time through, like, you know, all sorts of ups and downs in the industry.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's become a bit of an icon in Australia. So, it's, you know, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's a big deal to be here, and I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, man.
So I know this is stupid to ask, even though, you know, when you're, you know, when Self-Made hasn't even had its first issue released yet,
yeah,
but have you got any other projects that, like, has it's like ignited a spark in you that you now...
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I never want to stop. it's very difficult and very hard, but I never, ever want to stop doing it.
Because actually I realize, sorry, we should start this question by asking, before Kyle asked you to submit...
Yeah.
Certain things. Had you been doing writing with Mike before, or?
Yeah, not with Michael. About 10 years or so ago, I did a workshop with Colleen Doran.
That wow.
Was like it was very cool.
Who's that?
Cool.
I'm done.
Colleen Doran. She's just like she's an old school comics lady. What's
yeah,
she done?
She did. She was very involved in a lot of Neil Gaiman's Sandman run. She's done some work with Warren Ellis.
Okay.
She's done like a big run on her own creator and stuff.
Sweet.
She's very cool. So it was very good to sort of like learn from her, but I also realized in doing that I had a long way to go. And I think that's where I really started trying to understand story from a mechanical level. And that meant doing a lot of reading and looking at the works of like Christopher Vogler, and even Dan Harmon now speaks a lot about story. Like there's mm-hmm. so many places you can go to learn. And I ended up applying that a lot to my day job at For the People, which is a creative agency I work at. And sort of applying storytelling principles to messaging and communicating for brands. And because I had all that going on in my head, I was thinking about story a lot anyway. So when the opportunity came up, I felt like I was pretty primed to take a crack.
That is the least cynical I've ever heard someone describe a job as a creative.
Totally.
I've been fortunate.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Enough to be able to make my job at For the People what I want it to be. And that comes with working in a pretty special place. That's not something you can do.
Definitely. Yeah, not all agencies are like that. That's
exactly.
Great. Yeah. Go for it, Siobhan.
I was just going to say, I'd like to hear either your top five comics right now or all time. You can choose. Or both. A combo.
That's a good question. All
That's
right,
a bad question.
A combo. I have been loving Shanghai Red, the new series.
Just finished.
Just finished. Breaks my heart.
We're going to review it when we as soon as we stop talking to you, we're going to do this week's episode, and I'm going to review that fifth issue.
I'll have to run out because I haven't read issue 5 yet. It's in my standing order pile.
Really satisfying.
I've loved that series, and I think that's the people say fairly sometimes that there's a lot of Image series on the shelves, but if it means that we get stuff like Shanghai Red, then they need to keep going, because I could not live without that series.
Because we tend to read almost everything that comes out, certainly all the first issues, I've read a lot of Christopher Sabella, who wrote Shanghai Red comics, and never really connected with them until this. This just feels like, the first comic I've read by him that I'm just like, yep, this is a very, very good comic.
It felt like he hit a tone that is just so... Because I've heard people compare Shanghai Red to like an Ed Brubaker sort of feel. And like, I get it, but there's also this big like humanist streak in it. It's such a personal, emotional story. And beautiful.
And it's also like, I feel like almost even more than an Ed Brubaker story, it feels like really like violent and hopeless.
Yes.
That's the feeling that I got from it. Like very like gritty and real and like...
Yeah, but not cynical either.
No.
It is very dark, but it never loses sight of the importance of still trying to be a person and retain identity. So.
And vengeance.
And also, just drive in general. Mm,
like absolutely.
Sort of main characters, yeah.
So good.
I also really I feel bad after saying that I didn't like anything by Sabella until this, but I also, immediately, like a week after that, he put out, is it called Grounded or something? One where you can pay, it's like a Patreon for killing people.
Oh, Crowded.
Crowded.
Oh, I've heard about that. I haven't read it.
Yeah, I really like that one a lot. I read that one too.
That's immediately very different. Be picked up for TV.
Definitely going to get that.
Yeah, such a good point.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Yep. Great high concept. Mm. I've never read Nancy Drew as a kid, but I started reading Kelly Thompson's Nancy Drew comics. I'm like, yeah, I'm all about this.
It's great.
I love a good mystery.
Kelly Thompson, of course, wrote the Pink Ranger miniseries.
Which I love.
For Boom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where she was in Paris for some reason.
Look, who cares?
Well, I mean, that book actually started with Kelly and then Tini Howard took it over.
Oh,
so,
right.
If you're looking for creators who are really going to pop, I guess go back and read all Power Rangers minis.
Yeah, Tini Howard's great. Did you read Assassinistas?
No, but I want to.
That's good stuff.
Cool as hell.
Yeah. I'm digging Mark Waid's Doctor Strange run, just as like a new take on Doctor Strange, because I've always had trouble connecting with it, but taking him way out of his element has been really doing it for me.
Yeah, I dropped that after the first issue because I was like, why is this being narrated by someone as heavily as it is? And then I got told, hey, Levin's 5 issues in, it's revealed who is the narrator, and it's really satisfying. So I caught up on that, and it was.
Yeah.
Very glad it was.
Turns out that Mark Waid knows what he's doing.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Unless he's making Archie characters war heroes.
Although lots of people enjoyed that. I got an angry email telling me
oh,
it's
really?
Actually great.
Okay.
But that's my favorite kind of email to get someone telling me I'm wrong.
For sure. And let's see. Oh, there's a Boom series called By Night, which I've been quite enjoying.
The new one by Giant
John
Days.
Allison.
Yeah. It's, I like the tone of it. It's very
he
fun.
He is a delight.
Oh, yeah?
John Allison. You could like so much of his original comic series like Bad Machinery and stuff is still online, and I was obsessed with it in high school.
I have to go
so
back because like I think this is the first time I've read his stuff. And
is he Scary Go Round? Is that his
Scary Go Round?
Yeah, right. I remember that one. Yeah.
Scary Go Round turned into Bad Machinery, turned into
Cool.
By Night, I think.
There you go. Yeah, right. Sweet.
So that's 4.
One more.
All right. Not to suck up, but, and this is throwing back a little bit, but if you haven't read Hadrian's Wall by Kyle Higgins, do it.
It absolutely is.
I had the good fortune to sort of be speaking to Kyle as he was developing and scripting the series, and that dude poured a lot of his soul into that book, and it shows. I think it's one of his best works.
It's a murder mystery set in space that had the awesome opportunity to come out at the same time as Matt and Charlene Kent's Depth or Department H, which is a murder mystery set in the depths of the sea. And it was so great. Like some weeks you got them at the same time, and it was so great having these like very different stories in tone and artwork and everything, but with that same kind of fun spin on an old concept.
Yeah, a weird pinnacle of a very niche genre.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. That was a great miniseries that I hope I would love to see another return to that world.
Absolutely. My hope is that it does really well in trade because it deserves to. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really special comic. I really enjoyed
it. So
that.
Now you have the very simple question of answering what are your favorite of all time?
Yeah. Do you have any all time?
Boy. See, the thing is, it really changes year to year.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, there's classics. I'm never going to not want to go back and read Why the Last Man.
Yep.
And I have a sentimental attachment to Grant Morrison's Justice League, which is great because it's great.
That's not even sentimental. It's great.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it works out really well when you, at a young age, you read something and you imprint on it and you're back and you're like, oh, no, this is great. I have great taste. Thank God. This is good.
I mean, the crazy thing about that is that I kept getting the trades after Grant Morrison left, and I was like, no, is this even going to be good? And then you're like, oh, wait, the Joe Kelly stuff is maybe even better. It's so good. There's so much great stuff in that run.
And, like, Mark Waid chipped in a bit.
Tower it's of
a
Babel.
Mark Miller. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's
so
a,
good.
That's a crazy run of comic books. It's very
best
good.
Era of DC Comics.
Yeah. I miss books like DMZ. Mm. It's a book that I would never write or be able to write because of the just bizarre tone and pacing of it. But that's a book that I got every time the trade came out, I'd be in the door here at King's to pick it up because I loved it.
That's a black hole in my reading. Same. Backlog.
I've never read it, but I've it's worth doing.
There's
many a time.
A lot of it.
Brian Wood's most beloved series. Mm. Yeah,
absolutely, and rightly so, I think. Let's see what else of all time. That's such a big.
I know.
Just what are some comics you're fond of? Because I'm like you. I think it's on one hand, it's like you read some things and you're like, you know what, this makes the list. This is my favorite this new thing I just finished, or like, you know, this classic that everyone told me to read that I'm finally reading. This definitely makes the list. But then you also have the flip of that where you're like, everyone else says that comic's their favorite. I don't want it to be my favorite anymore.
Exactly. It's tough when some comics are just objectively good. You don't want to sound like a hack, but like, yeah, Why the Last Man is great. Everyone loves it because it's great. I loved I Kill Giants. That's the one that, like, maybe the first comic that made me cry.
Everyone cries when they read it.
You can't help. It's just too good.
We did it for Queens of Kings, and literally everyone just sat around crying.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It's really
have
nice.
Either of you seen the movie?
No. But I heard it was good.
Have you?
No, I've not seen it. I don't need to. Because I love that comic so much, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And then... You know, I do love superheroes. That Mark Waid Flash stuff is just...
Mm, yeah.
It's the best.
Again, it ties into what you were saying earlier about the best era of DC.
Yeah.
It's like late 90s, early 2000s.
My favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and I don't know if it's quite the same era, but Gotham Central is just...
Yes. Good. Very, very, very good.
I feel so bad for anyone who comes into any Batman-related books after that, because you're going to be chasing that high for a generation.
Absolutely.
Crazy work.
And especially I feel even worse for anyone that has to make a TV series that references that without being anywhere near as good at it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, are you thinking of any particular show that has half of the name?
CSI Miami.
Yeah, that's it. It came so close to being Gotham Central.
They seem to have fans, though. The show seems to do well, doesn't it?
CSI Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had a good long run.
Self-made. We are going to get it in just over a month's time.
Yeah.
And you've got the first six issues down.
Yep, that's right. We've completely finished four. Eduardo's writing, drawing five, and I'm writing six. So we're pretty deep into it now.
And can I just say that is my number one recommendation for anyone doing a local comic book. Get four issues in the can before you even approach anyone to sell it, because lack of momentum kills local series.
Absolutely. And that's something that came out of like listening to interviews with retailers and stuff, like knowing how much bad scheduling can screw things over is I don't want to put anyone in that position. So where, and Eduardo's a beast. He is fast.
And
so
he's good.
He's so good.
Oh my God.
I mean, I try not to gush about Eduardo every time he's so good, you guys. I mean, we've got a trailer on our website, which is selfmadecomic.com, which is all his art. And it's just, check it out. It's gorgeous. He's real good. I think he's going to be going places, that boy.
Well, to try and like just tie your leg around his leg.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
Come on with you, motherfucker.
Either tie me to him or just sort of tie him to somewhere where no one else can find him and cut him off from the rest of the world.
Like, it was a movie with the leg breaking.
27 hours or something?
127
hours?
No!
He saws his leg
misery,
off.
Misery, misery.
Oh, misery, all right.
Yeah, I'm going to trap Eduardo in the desert and make him cut off his leg.
Get in a box with him.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll be very happy to draw my comics after that.
Are you excited at the prospect of seeing people dressed as the characters you guys have created?
Oh, God, yeah. If that happens, I will be pretty stoked.
Because everyone talked about the visual kind of design of the overall book. Is there one? Like,
yeah, I mean, the trick of Self-Made is we move between worlds of fantasy to worlds of sort of traditional science fiction to some a blend of the two, I guess I'd say. So Eduardo has to change his style every single issue, and he does that incredibly well. And the fact that he can create worlds that feel lived in and whole and specific just for one issue, and then we're off and we're out to the next thing, it's a real talent.
Does that mean that you change your style, writing style, for each issue as you do these different worlds? Or a little genre bit. As well? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm lucky enough that we've got a pretty great working relationship, Eduardo and I. So how it generally works is I'll write a pretty detailed script, but then I'll tell him, like, this is your world, you do what you need to. And he'll often change panels or he'll change page order, and he'll do outlines that way, and then I'll go back and I'll re-strip the whole thing. Cool. Which helps us find a different tone for every issue, I think.
That's a really cool way to work.
It's fun. I really love it. It's hard work, but it's good.
Awesome. Well, man, I look forward to picking up the first issue.
Thank you so much.
Siobhan already has the first four, which she's not sharing with me.
Sorry.
Yeah, but if you'd like to get the first issue, I'd very much like you to come into the signing on the 6th of December, Euro Kings at 5:30.
And, yep.
403 George Street.
Just opposite Dimmicks.
That's the one.
Are there any other like random comics that if someone brings along, you'll sign?
Oh, I'll sign anything. I don't give a merciless. Well, I will say that on the very same day, self-made editor Kyle Higgins has a Power Rangers graphic novel out called Soul of the Dragon, which is basically an old man Green Ranger story that I've seen a lot of, and it's pretty cool. So if you want me to sign that, just to piss him off a little bit, I'll do it. Happily.
How's your Kyle Higgins signature
impersonation? I can practice about a month.
Yeah, good. Yeah, good,
yeah,
fine.
I can get it down.
We reckon that would be a good one for a relatively new Power Rangers reader like me.
Is it
like the Mega Drive game?
Nothing's like the Mega Drive game. It's very self-contained, I'll say. So,
yeah, cool.
Yeah, it builds on the history of the show, but it's a very self-contained story far removed from the rest of mythology. So yeah, it might be a great entry
okay,
point.
Cool. I really want to like it.
Yeah.
Of course, you can listen to Matt and Michael every is it week on Ranger Danger?
More than every week.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
How much Power Rangers is there to talk about?
Well,
do you guys go back and watch the whole thing?
Yeah. So
and then talk about it?
We started at the start, and we've also been doing the recent ones, and it hasn't stopped in the past 25 years. And for a while, they're doing like 50 episodes a year. So we've done 5 years and 400 hours, and we're about a quarter of the way through Power Rangers.
Wow.
Oh, my good God.
It's a big hill to climb, and we're nowhere near the summit.
Have you got a favorite era of it? Is it the one that you grew up with, or is it a different one?
I think the first seasons, the classic stuff, has a lot of nostalgic value for me. But also, there's a couple of hundred, literally, episodes of it. And it's a slog, so I have mixed feelings. A love-hate relationship, I guess I'd say. Yeah.
The only thing I really remember about Power Rangers is the, like, fight.
It's the shampoo
the fight
song,
movements.
Uh-Oh, We're in Trouble, from the night. That was, like, the main song of the credits of the movie. Uh-Oh, We're in Trouble.
But also deep cut.
Also, just the explosions. Yeah. Just the explosions are so, like, I feel like I have weird sense memory of them. You know what I mean? They almost give me like ASMR.
Just
like,
sparks and smoke machines. Yeah.
Particularly everything so brought over from Japan was like created in a lab to hit the pleasure center of a child's brain.
Yeah, true.
It's like bright colors and big explosions of giant robots and crazy monsters. Yeah.
So good.
What's not to love?
Have you discussed the more recent movie?
We did a review of that.
What did you think?
It was probably too good.
Disagree.
But what I mean is I think they, and like I understand the instinct to sort of put a lot of work into the character stuff, but lost all of the weird insanity of the franchise.
The reasons that people like it.
Yeah, exactly. I think if you're doing Power Rangers without the stuff that's bananas and frankly really hard to rationalize to Western audiences, you're missing a lot of it. And again, I think that's what Kyle did really well. Like, you still get Rita Repulsa, and she's a crazy space witch, and none of it's toned down, but also it's taken seriously, and I think that's the sweet spot.
Cool.
Pretty good cow cum joke at the start of the movie, though.
Oh, yeah. If that's what you're into,
what?
You'll be well served by
the It's one of the best I've ever seen in a movie, I have to admit.
It cracks the top five.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Although, who could say, a couple of years from now, I may have heard better Calcom jokes.
That's right. You don't want to say anything definitive at
exactly.
this point. Well, you look like a real fool.
You can listen to Matt a couple times each week talking about Power Rangers on the Ranger Danger podcast. And, of course, make sure you pick up Self-Made wherever you are in the world. But if you are in Sydney, December 6th, King's Comics, come and get it signed. I look forward to reading it.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
And I hope after the book comes out, the first thing that comes up when you Google Matt Groom won't be grooming Matt for dogs.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, no. Oh, I've never Googled myself. Oh, God, that's a real bummer note to end the podcast on. That's fine. I guess I have some work to
but
do.
But think about how much better it's going to be like a month from now.
Yeah, I guess it can't get much worse, right? You need to hire an SEO guy or something. Oh. All right. Cool. Thanks. Thanks for that.
Look, if you Google Matt Groom comics, it's fine.
Good. 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 All right. That's some small bit of redemptive information. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.